talk, nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Hi, and welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. Perhaps you've heard the show on Odyssey's Nerd Talk from 107.7 The End. I'm Greiner. This is the longer form version of it, and I'm joined by a guy who's been using potions and dreaming as hard as he can, praying for a fancy new mustache. He's the Skin Squatch. Hello, Brandon.
Every time I shave my mustache, I need to remind myself, I need somebody else to remind me how long it takes for me to actually grow facial hair.
Okay.
because it's a lot longer than I remember every time I do. I'm like, oh, no, look, I was able to do this, so.
I've got an idea. I was on TikTok before we got here, and there was a filter that makes you look like Taylor Swift. If you're into that, so I did it, of course, so I could pick my nose as Taylor Swift, because why wouldn't you? And it took care of most of the facial hair. With a beard, it's not so good or whatever, but then I was like, oh, you grow that facial hair back. Turn it off right back. So yeah. Next time you're getting squirrely with the old razor blade because you're bored and depressed, just don't
pretend you're Taylor Swift.
Right. There we go. Just jerk off to Taylor Swift. God, I can't say that. Mark it.
I mean,
that far? That's as far as I got?
Like 2 minutes in. We haven't even introduced Siege yet, and you're already talking about
weens. Hey, at least we got that covered. Tell Cage the ween talk has already happened. All right. And
check the box.
From just about as far away as you could go, and he would call us anything under 60, the freezing cold Arctic chill, he's our Florida man. He's Siege. Yes. Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Dude, are you wearing a kimono?
I mean, like, this is my bathrobe, because I literally got out of the shower and then just, like, hopped on here. So,
that's so hot.
Dude, it is like a kimono. It's got like koi fish all over it, and
I think on men they're called
yukata.
Covered
in giant gold.
Just to be a jerk. Okay. I think that's the
okay.
Yeah,
I prefer your accuracy, and so does Brandon's brother Steven.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had to jump in the shower because I was just like as I was telling you guys, I was housing a whole bunch of Jamaican food, and I just didn't want to like come in here all like spicy and everything else.
We can't smell you in this meeting.
No, it's not one of the featured senses in podcasting.
Yeah, but I just felt greasy and shiny, and it actually got me thinking. Do you guys eat like a fruit or a vegetable every single day?
Oh no,
oh, yeah.
No. You do, Brandon?
I do. Oh yeah.
Is that because Cage makes you do it, or
that's because
is that by
Cage?
Choice?
That's because Cage. Well, she doesn't make me do it, but she is thoughtful about how
nutrition
we as a family eat. Yeah. And
gotcha.
Don't worry. Like, I completely offset everything that she does with like fistfuls of candy throughout the day because I have absolutely no self control.
Brandon's fisting with candy. Got it. Cool. Sounds cool.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Siege, I don't.
So, no, yeah.
I eat almost enough vegetables for a day and a week, probably.
Yeah, I was just like I was thinking about it, like, ever since I've been home post-surgery and haven't been actually, like, preparing food so much. Like, I've just been housing, like, Jamaican beef patties, and I was wondering if, like, I think it's corn. You guys know what a Jamaican beef patty is, right? Like the things that look like
I know all of those words individually.
Yeah, Jamaicans, yes. Beef, yes.
Yes. It looks like an orange wallet that I think is made of corn.
This is not what I thought.
Oh, dude, it's so good. They're so good.
This is one of the things where, like, living in the Pacific Northwest, I feel like we are so... Like, when you told us earlier that you were going to eat as much Jamaican food as possible and then try to counteract as much of it with yogurt, like, I was like, that all sounds amazing, like, in theory, like, hypothetically, all of the words that you're saying make sense, but, like, Jamaican food is never one of the things... I don't know if this is true for Gregor. Like, is never... Like, if I'm thinking about the things that I'm going to eat or, like, the different options of cuisine that I have at my disposal, I'm always thinking like Thai, you know, like Japanese, Chinese, tacos. Never is Jamaican anywhere or any sort of Caribbean food anywhere on the list of options in the Pacific Northwest, unless you go to like Paseo or Un Bien in Seattle, right? But like,
it's a specialty.
Outside of that, there's just not much. Yeah,
it's a specialty shop.
And those are Cubans, right?
Yeah. And so I find that I drive around the east side a lot, and from when I used to drive in Seattle, and so Bellevue, when I used to drive around there, it wasn't so much. But now there are so many different Korean places to eat at. There's like a huge Korean boom of food here. But again, you look at the demographics, and it's white people and Asians are like the main like groups in the Pacific Northwest.
Where I live, it's a ton. There are a ton of like
racist
East. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Exactly. Wall guns.
No. Eastern. Eastern European like restaurants and bakeries, like just like Russian and Ukrainian. Yeah. Like, there's a massive like, I don't know, former.
former Soviet
bloc. Like, no, I mean, but for real though, like all of the different countries that either are or were countries now have a bunch of like have a ton of like bakeries and stuff like that in Spokane, Kazakhstan, which is like
Donny scones,
not something I'm super. I'm like, I would prefer to have a bunch more like quality, I don't know, Jamaican food or Indian food is something that we're like super lacking.
Ooh,
over here.
Yeah.
Oh man. Annapurna is right up the street from me. Like,
ooh,
there's a Taste of India was my spot in Seattle, up in the district. It's up in the U District. It's amazing.
Okay, I'll go there.
That was my spot. And then there's a place here where I live now called Taste of India, and it is not the same.
It's like
it pisses me off every time I drive past.
The taste of the Indian floor of the train.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
One is Taste of India. The other is Taste of India in Nana.
Taste of Indiana. Guys, I have a question.
This tastes clammy, huh?
Like, Siege, you live in a big city, like a city that is like Miami, according to
Brandon,
like everybody else in the rest of the country would look at that as a city that's like, oh yeah, that's a city that we know something about, right?
Yeah, right.
The other day I was thinking about Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about how I never think about it.
Yeah,
about how it's like a place that could be fake.
But that's not, no way, man. Because there's the Indianapolis 500 at least. At least it has like a
That's a track
event.
On the
Duluth.
That's on the outskirts of town, though.
What
the, but, isn't it? The 500? Like it's in downtown. Yeah.
I mean, it's not like it's like part of the city. Like if you fly over, you're like, oh, that's in the city. It's just it's a.
Okay.
Sprawling city where there's a downtown area that is not it, but like you don't like leave like you would like in Seattle. If you go to like the racetrack, you have to go way outside of town to like
So I was thinking theoretically you couldn't be at the racetrack and see like city skyline. Could you do that in Indianapolis?
It might be too flat, but I'll ask my brother. He lives outside of Indianapolis, and so I just happen to be a little bit more familiar. But it's like,
I'm just wondering, like, do people think about, like, it's like Seattle's not a big market, right? Like, it's a medium-sized
market. I mean, it's
market.
Top 20.
It's bigger now. It's definitely
okay.
top 20.
Okay.
In radio, it's,
okay.
top, it's just, number 13, so.
I think it's like, I was going to say it's
I
top
I just always
15.
Wonder, like, how, do, like, do people think about Seattle the way that I think about Indianapolis, which is just kind of like a, I guess.
No. Seattle's like a.
Okay.
People think of, I think, well, when I didn't live in Seattle and I was just in some crap town called Albuquerque or whatever, Seattle always felt like a Europe to me. It was like if you would go to, not Paris necessarily, but if someone was like, I was in Berlin, I was in Seattle, I'd be like, those are the same. And then so, like, so it's like, it's so remote and so different. And then, I mean, it's only gotten a bad image in the last several years or whatever. Part of it's its own fault or whatever. But it's, as a kid, it was like where the real world was. And it was like, that's, despite being called real, this feels very unreal. It feels very foreign. And
what's funny is even down here, that bad image does not exist. Yeah. Like,
you can't punch down.
So, where it's like you guys talk about like all the stuff going on in the streets with like homeless and like drug use and everything else like that. We have no idea of that. Everybody, like, aside from people who regularly follow things in Seattle, they don't know about
those
the
people
traffic
are called
on I-5.
Fox supporters.
Yeah,
you know, it's like the if you're watching Fox, anytime something goes bad, they're pointing to San Francisco and Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
And so we just became a scapegoat for like a hyper focused group of
if something goes bad in a liberal city, it's because of liberal policy.
Yeah, and
right?
Seattle's a good point too.
Yeah.
And see, that's kind of the idea here with Florida too, is like where so many people look at Florida. Like Greg can tell you from being down here, it's not the like crazy backwards hellscape that everybody makes it out to.
No, it is.
You know,
no, but it's,
I mean, it definitely is, but it's in the good way. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Greg, like, as long as you own it.
Your mayor is Cade Ferrari, so.
Yeah.
Oh, don't tell Cage. Cage and Cabe, she'll run away, man.
Oh, my God.
She'll take those kids, he'll feed them to the alligators.
I mean, sometimes I would actually maybe support that.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah. Yeah, Florida was so incredible. I don't think I would have had as much fun in Florida if I didn't have a siege there to, like, kind of push me to, like, enjoy it more. But, like, yeah, watching someone cut across 5 lanes of traffic and just, I've said this a million times on the show, but, like, just watching that happen and everyone's like, Florida. And I'm like, yeah. All right.
And that was for popcorn shrimp.
Yeah, it's just like
that wasn't for, like, any sort of emergency. I was just trying to get popcorn
shrimp.
And
it wasn't just you. I mean, and well played. But it wasn't just you. It was just, like, everybody's like, oh, that's my turn. Like, it's just like, but it, like, here, everyone's so indignant about any mistake anyone makes. They're like, I got to tweet about this, or I'm offended. Yeah. And there it was just like, that guy, God, kept going or whatever. It was just like, yeah, it's just what you do in Florida, dude. And so
that's where I think the big difference lies, is that, like, when people start saying, oh, you're a liberal bastion, everybody's like, no, you can't say that about us. And we are offended by that terminology. Here is just like, you are a lawless hellscape. We're like, yep. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, it's pretty badass.
Come on down and enjoy it.
Yeah. Now, the part where they, like, don't want to teach Black history and they don't want women to be, you know, in existence.
See, that's the thing, is that's not they outside of, like, the state house, which sucks.
But that's like what runs it, though. It's like an unfortunate, mm-hmm. it'll turn back at some point, but it's just so regressive right now that all the things that you're like, oh, Florida's on fire, of course it is. Now it's like, Florida's on fire, and, like, should we save them? And that's the,
yeah,
that's no fun. But yeah, it's nothing
but
good
save
time.
Ourselves. We got alligators to piss it out.
Yeah, dude, so cool. Anyway, so I don't know if you guys can, like, pinpoint in your minds, like, a specific event in your life where you made a post about it on social media that wasn't, like, a kid was born or your nuts fell off or something like that. Or just an innocuous thing, an innocuous thing that you make a post about that goes super crazy for you. I'm not talking about going viral. I'm just saying that, like, connects with your people. Can you think of anything where you've done something like that and it's, like, really resonated? Because I recently had something happen and I'm still dealing with the fallout from it. So you guys think of anything?
Oh, I can think I know what you're
saying. Yeah, it was terrible. So I'm driving to...
You're talking about, like, tapping into, like, a cultural vein that everybody, like, Siege brought this up last week in our group chat, double dildo robot butt stuff. No.
Double dildo robot centaurs.
Oh, did we change it?
No.
Is it always
no, the other
that?
One is secret buttholes.
Secret buttholes.
But it was like the secret, like the things that you don't know that trigger you.
I had two specific things in 2 days that happened to me last week. The first was I made just a random comment on the radio where this has probably happened to you guys, I imagine, just because we're humans. I put on a shirt. I was in a hurry. I put on my shirt in the morning, and it just didn't quite fit anymore. And I was like, oh, sausage casing. Okay, well, just gonna go with it. And then I sat down at the desk at work. It's like a standing sitting desk thing, and I was there in the radio station, and my belly button kept going boop, I'm gonna hang out from underneath your shirt. And I was like, I just, like, happened while I, like, reached to turn on the microphone, and I was like, I am so uncomfortable today because I, like, over dried a shirt or something like that.
Oh,
and here I am feeling, and, like, people came into the studio from, like, work. No one ever talks to me about being on the radio. I just, like, exist in this weird bubble. But, like, people came in, they're like, oh, my God, my Cub shirt is like that. Or, oh, my God, yeah, I found this shirt in the closet. And they started telling me, like, shirt laundry-related stories and stuff. And I was getting tweets from people and texts and stuff. And I was like, where are all of you when I'm saying awesome stuff, like, about dinosaurs and stuff? No one says a damn thing. But I'm talking about my shirt fitting too tight. Okay, great. And so I thought that was kind of a cool moment in communication history for me. It's just like tapping into something that everyone is ashamed to relate to. Okay. But then I went to something called a soup party. It seems to be all the rage right now. Took a pot of soup.
First off, how does that become all the rage?
Because
second off, how do I get invited to a soup party?
Well, like, I'll tell you how I got invited.
Like, sounds more appealing than and more difficult to get an invite to than an orgy. Like, give me a soup party invite.
You got to get on the right subreddits.
Spokane that bad?
Yeah.
Spokane is that bad?
I'm sure you can get a soup party in Spokane before you can get a sex party.
Yeah, probably.
Atone for your sins, boy. So I get this invite for a soup party, and the only way I got it is because the person who normally hosts it was like, hey, other person, you're hosting it this time. And she was like, what? Okay, well, if I'm hosting it, then I'm inviting my friends. And so myself and Cool Keith got the invites this time around.
Nice.
So I make a big pot of cream of green chili chicken soup. I'm not running upstairs to get my inhaler that you're doing.
So good.
It was so
good.
Can you just put that in a
Ziploc
bag and mail it to me?
Well, I would, except for it would have carpeting from the floor of my car in it, because I took the big pot of the stuff. I set it down on the ground. I was like, okay, I put some towels around it or whatever. I was like, this is gonna be fine because it's on the ground, there's enough low weight, it's a big stock pot with just some soup in it, just enough for like 9 people or something like that to each have a little bit, you know. I'm like, no problem. Person in front of me just gets on their brakes a little too much because, you know, it was 29 degrees out and that might have been ice. And they get on their brakes a little too much, and I just hear it go, like, it's almost like I could hear it tipping, like, doo, 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 doo.
Like,
oh,
no.
And then I hear the lid go, chug, 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 boop. And I just, I, like, literally, Brandon, you're not far off. I was just like, no, no. And I just started screaming, no. I'm going,
I can hear it. I can hear it in my head.
I'm going 65 miles an hour. And, like, the thing is like, if you were outside of the car, she's like,
yeah.
The windows instantly fog completely.
I felt like I was in Florida. This is exactly what I talked about. I was like, I've never understood why it's so foggy in the cars in Florida in October or whatever, but, like, same thing. It immediately fogged up my car, and, like, I couldn't pull over because I was on Highway 99 or 509 or whatever it is down there. I'm going 60 miles an hour, like, between the road and my soup on the ground. Whoa, whoa. And then I just get off at a random stop, turn around because there's nowhere to, like, actually pull over. 10 minutes later, I'm in downtown Seattle across the street from Lumen Field, and I'm just, like, looking at my car, sobbing. I'm sobbing like a broken human that has finally been kicked one too many times. And it broke me. I couldn't do anything other than drive home. Brandon.
Man.
So
this is like, this is that thing where as soon as I saw you post about that, I was like, I'm getting secondhand, but like 1.5 hand anger and emotion from this, because it was like I couldn't think when CJ asked the question last week, like, what's the triggering thing that you don't know that triggers you until it triggers you?
Bone chips.
I was like, yeah, I really can't think of anything. And as soon as you said, like, as soon as you posted the picture of the soup on the ground, I went, that's the freaking thing. Because every time I get in the car, and like,
soup
we're going, like,
on the ground.
Me and the family are going somewhere, and my wife is like, Cage is putting food in, I should use her full legal name, Cage.
My wife, Cage.
If she is putting food in the car, and she's just like, oh no, this will just go here. I'm like, no, it absolutely will not. Like, we are putting this in a box, and that box is going to have padding in it, and, like, this thing's going to go on your lap. And she's like, I don't want to hold it on my lap. I'm like, I don't want my car to hold it on the floor.
You're in my,
like,
cage now, going, Cage.
Yeah, you are holding this food until we get there. She's got, like, soup in her hands. Like soup, like just taco soup, like soup leaking through her fingers.
Well, I'm gonna send you the picture, and next time when she's like, it'll be fine, you're gonna show her the picture. What it looks like is that somebody barfed up chowder all over the floor of my car. That's what it looks like. Conveniently, days later, sort of smells like too.
Nice.
Dude, it is like the thing. I don't know if it became like, I witnessed you, like, the whole thing happening. As soon as I saw the picture, it was like, I tapped into it, like, what was that movie where they could predict what crime was gonna, Minority Report?
Yeah.
I was like, I felt like I entered the scene and watched the entire thing happen, and I was like putting myself, and I'm like, not only am I crying, I'm screaming just swear words at the top of my lungs.
You were probably actually
sitting there
amplifying my own outrage. It was probably why I felt it, because you were secondhand also experiencing it, and so it's like a paranormal thing.
There's a disturbance in the force.
Meanwhile, I'm sending him messages that are just, I love you.
Yeah, that's true. It was really nice. So I text my friend Leslie, whose house it is, and I'm like, hey, I just sent her a picture, and I was like, I don't have soup anymore, or whatever. And she was like, drive over here, I'll make Brian, her husband, help you clean it up. And I was like, first of all, we're not going to make Brian do anything. Secondly,
yeah,
I'm like crying driving through the city of Seattle. I'm driving down Jackson. There's like the open air drug market over here, and I'm like,
It's you could just now coin the term for yourself. It's criving.
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 Super criving, bro.
Oh my god. Dude, the video that you sent me that you didn't post, I was just like, my heart is broken.
Yeah, no, I was hurt. Like you were like, oh, he got it together and made another video, because I'm going to send it to Brandon so he can see it, but it's
yeah. Yeah.
So I get back to my house, and Leslie texts me back, and she's like, just come over. And I was like, give me a minute. I can't do that right now. So I grab the pot of soup, and I take it inside, and there's probably like an inch of soup left. Okay, that's okay. Set that down. Then I go back out to the car, and I take the floor mat out. I drive a Subaru, so it's like rubber. So it just comes out, and it starts spilling everywhere.
It's now a soup-baru.
I was getting there, but yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And so my soup-baru. So, I wish I wouldn't have chastised you, because that would have been a good clip. So I get a trash bag inside. I put the ladle of Subaru soup into the... it's not like it's a big rubber container. I guess I could have served from there.
You could have. Probably just dumped it into a bowl at Leslie's house.
She was going to make Brian bring out two spoons, so you guys could just both lean against the bottom of your car, scooping soup into each other's mouths.
Why into each other's?
It's just the angle. I feel like as I was picturing you like leaning on the bottom of, like, you're sitting on the ground, like leaning, because it's a lower car, so, right? Yes. Like, so you're leaning into it, like trying to get that back into your mouth would be more difficult, but
leaning across the front seats.
Yeah.
Over the passenger side, someone's leaning outside the door. Just got their head just laying on the footrest.
It's a real weird Lady in the Tramp moment.
The corner, but it, the door just like that.
It's sweet though.
Sorry to make light of this situation.
No, it's all you can do. I literally couldn't make light of it when it happened. I was devastated. I was on an like 8-day run of feeling the best I have in 2 years, and it was like still enough to ruin me. I was ruined. Okay, so I get home, and then you know, I'm already making jokes about it being like I'm the Kevin from The Office spilling my chili all over the floor. It's a thing I'm so proud of. I did something right. I'm showing up. I'm included. I'm valuable. And it just all goes wrong, of course. And so I text my pal, and she's like, you gotta get a file folder out and scoop it up with that, like Kevin does in The Office. Oh. So I was like, how am I going to get the stuff off the carpet? And so I like looked in my house, and there was a Tupperware container. And so I like pulled off the lid and then scooped the two towards each other and filled it up. And then, here and similar in Spokane, a little worse there, it was under freezing for like 5 straight days. And so I couldn't even go anywhere to get it cleaned out because all the water was frozen in all these machines. And they weren't running because you will burst pipes and stuff. And so I have just frozen soup in my car. And like today was the first day it warmed up. And so like I have to get it taken care of now. But it's it's daunting. And so I made it to the party. And everyone pretended like they didn't know. And I was like, you all know what happened. Don't act like you don't.
Look me in the eye.
And so, yeah, so I'm trying to say this delicately. I don't know how to do this right. But days later now, okay, fine. I hung out with my lovely friend. And this is too weird. Like, I don't know how to describe this right. Like, I'll just say it and then I'll beep it. How about that? And
it's a long beep.
Does she like soup?
If she's listening to this, I'll tell you what I said. But it's like, if anyone wants to know off air, no problem. But I was like, hey, I can't pick you up because my car, and she was like, it's full of soup. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, because it's a Subaru. And I was like, ah, you're yeah! the best.
So I want to know how much soup you can fit in a Subaru.
Oh, dude. So much more than I had. Like, so much more. But anyway, next time I see you guys, I'll make you a cream of green chili chicken soup. It was really easy to make, and it was...
That sounds so good.
It was
good.
Delicious, especially when it's snowy out and stuff. Man, so good.
Oh, man.
That doesn't really have anything to do with Nerd Talk, and I apologize for taking so much time on that, but it was truly the... For 24 hours, I got more responses to anything on Instagram than ever that wasn't, like, a life... changing moment. I guess spilling that much soup was pretty life-changing, but it was like so inane, so just like such a meaningless bit of mediocrity, but it was like those are the things that people really connect with.
There's something like there's got to be something psychological about where you tap it. Like I've talked about this before.
Yeah,
where
Brandon's
you feel like
tapping
you're the,
it. All right.
You're the person who feels like you don't sometimes I feel like the person who everybody else is in on something, right? Like I'm sure it's part of the depression and stuff like that. Yeah. Right, but like it's you feel like everybody else is in on something, everybody else knows the thing and you don't know what the thing is, and you're just like pretending to know the thing even though everybody is all doing that all the time.
I feel like this is not a problem Siege has for some reason. I don't know why. I feel like Siege is
no, he just knows the thing.
Yeah, I feel like he's the one that knows the thing. Yeah, he's the cool Keith of this conversation.
I just exist everywhere. I am omnipresent. Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, those are the people that make this thought so much worse, right? Because you're like, obviously, that guy. So then you have these situations, or like you're talking about, like this either a situation or a thought or something that when it's shared, all of a sudden everybody is like, oh, yeah. Like, you have just touched on something that gives people such a guttural reaction to the event or to the thought, where you're like, there's got to be some sort of psychological phenomenon or description for whatever that is.
Yeah, giving permission to to engage.
Like I always share this story. I don't know if I should. I think I shared it on the podcast when I choked on a donut and crapped myself. Yeah. But every time I share that story, like, people are like, oh my gosh, like, and like it breaks down so many walls between people who like seem like they're too cool for a situation, where you're like, let me tell you about this time I crapped myself and choked on a donut the same day, and they're like, no longer are I, even though I'm making myself the most uncool in a situation, like, they, it breaks down their cool wall, you know what I mean?
What,
like,
that
whatever
also
that,
does,
that is
what that also does is that just like makes you exude confidence, because you're able to talk about that. Is like, can you believe this happened to me? And you're laughing about it, and you're sharing what should be an embarrassing experience, but you're not appearing embarrassed about it. So
you're Eminem
like,
8-miling final rap
exactly.
battling yourself,
exactly.
Right? That's like
exactly.
your t-shirt not covering up your belly button. Like that's what you've done. You like you could either sit there and try to hide it or talk about it on the radio where everybody's gonna like
no, nobody can see it, but now everybody feels that. Oh yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah, that's good. It feels it's a coming of age thing, because I don't think I could convince 18-year-old me to behave the way I do now. I don't think that there's a way I could be like, it's better if you do it this way and if you just acknowledge it. And the other thing that I wish I knew is if someone says something crappy to you, to be like, what was that? Could you repeat that? And make them say the mean thing again. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, wow, that was kind of mean. Or just like say what the thing is, just kind of like passively without being like, would you say I'm gonna fight you or whatever? Just be like, hey, repeat that. I didn't catch that. Oh, I didn't realize it was something mean to me. If I could like, if I could give my prior self a couple bits of advice, it would be like, own the things that are uncomfortable, and then don't let anyone say, unless they're trying to fight you, don't let anyone say anything rude to you without calling them out on it, because it'll help them grow and you grow too. Because if I would have had those things, I could have been like, I could have been making at least $1.18 more an hour doing radio now. So
the other thing is when somebody says something mean to you or whatever, you just kind of look straight at them like seriously and ask them, are you okay?
Yeah. Is that it?
And that just throws their game off completely too. It's just like, oh wait, maybe I'm the person who's out of place here.
I had a
are we the baddies?
I had a big giant blue mohawk, and I was at a bowling event for the radio station. Mom comes over that's bowling and some with her kids and some other thing, and she comes over and she's like, "Do you just need a hug?" Like trying to be a bitch, and I was like, "I mean, yeah, that would actually probably make me feel way better." And she was like, and I was like,
oh wait, now I have to hug
And so
him.
She gave me a hug, and then like this is how old I am. This is before the camera phone or whatever, but it was like she was like, yeah. I wish you could picture this, and I was like, yeah, because you're a bitch and I called you out on it, bitch. I didn't say that part though. Anyway.
Oh, that's right. That was the photo that you posted of what was it, 24 for 24?
Yeah, I have a million more of those somewhere, and I got to find them all because I have so many cool mohawk photos and punk band photos, and it's like I showed somebody there, they're
taken
like,
down.
What? They looked at me like you were cool, and I'm like, yeah.
What do you mean were?
As you're like pulling your shirt over your belly button. Yes, of course.
Belly buttons are cool.
My belly button has a blue mohawk.
With your shoelace that you're using for a belt.
Yeah, right? It's part of a... I live in 2024 now, so it's part of a networking cable, but same difference, you know? It's like...
Yeah.
I do feel like there's a lot of moments in my life. It's never like these... spilling soup in your car is an obviously bad moment.
Sure.
You know, like... any of like the great moments that you have in your life that are obviously good, great. I always try to picture in certain moments where I'll be like in my house, like my dog just peed on a rug, and it's like not the worst thing in the world, but it's like annoying enough, and I'm sitting down there like exhausted just trying to go to bed, but I have to sit here and soak up this pee. Like these just like mundane moments where I'm like, if I could just snapshot this moment and show it to my 18-year-old self and be like, what do you think your life is like? Because actually it's not that bad. Yeah, right. But like, if you just saw this picture, what would you think it's like?
Yeah. Oh, man down.
Oh, is that a cat?
No, some pictures falling off of a wall.
Yeah. Brandon's voice carrying
Cage. You have a ghost.
Cage hung him up.
She's also stomping around upstairs because you're being too loud right now, waking up the kids. Yeah.
She's opening the door and clapping at you in the background.
Well, I couldn't have timed that better. The dog shook off right as I was like, hold on a second. All right, well, I guess it's the time that we get into the actual show or whatever. And I'd like to lead off in honor of Brandon returning for the first time in 2024. As if we've done a bunch of them. We did one preview show.
No, I just missed like a public business meeting last week that I apparently wasn't invited to.
Oh, the one show? Okay.
Yeah, okay.
No, I'm like a figurehead. I'm not like you're like CEO and CFO over here. They're just like, okay, go IT, go home.
Brandon has never listened to the podcast until this week, the time that he wasn't, because he couldn't make it. So he listened to the one time, and we were like very clear about how we missed him and how like we wanted him to be there. But yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But this is where we're going to make important decisions about what the podcast is going to be like in the future.
Oh, I've already made them. I just pretend you guys get to be part of it.
Anyway,
that's a joke to everyone listening. I feel like that's okay. So we'll start with whale stuff. I was trying to do something.
The one guy, the only guy that gets paid to do anything on this show.
Coming up with the ideas.
Yeah.
We did talk about getting a Taco Bell sponsorship where we do instead of eating 1 minute of chips, we eat 1 minute of Taco Bell every week. And I'm Taco Bell, if you're listening, God, we're all in. I wish I wouldn't have said
Please.
Some of the stuff at the top, though.
So in. Yeah.
No, that's okay. Just send them this clip. Just send them, hey, Taco Bell, if you're listening.
Yeah. I'm willing to spill Taco Bell in my car. Oh. I'll rename my Superoo to the Pooperoo or whatever I need to make it.
No, that doesn't make it work.
So scientists are splashing around with joy after having what they call a 20-minute conversation with a humpback whale. Brandon, did you see this?
Oh.
No, I've never seen this. What?
So these
He's about to cry.
Scientists, I guess they recorded whale noises, including what they know to be a greeting call, and then they played it in the vicinity of a humpback who heard it and just kind of came casually like swimming over like, what are you guys doing? And began circling their boat. It would repeat the follow-up calls both in frequency and variation pretty consistently, which doesn't actually surprise me at all, but is very cool. The scientists have no idea what they're actually saying to the whale, so probably some butt stuff or what, or cloaca stuff. But like, it's weighing in at the, like, the same size as like a garbage truck that's full of trash. I hope that it's not like, you know, it's not indeed mating related or whatever. So it's part of SETI, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. And they're pumped because it shows that blasting signals at alien could be a viable method for getting aliens to come down and help our butts. So that's what I took away from the story.
Nice.
Pretty incredible.
Show me or blow.
I do feel like there is like, I think about this with, like, with hunting, like when they take a moose call out. I don't hunt, but like, you see, like, they take the moose call out, and they, you know, it's always fun. You make a big noise with a moose call, and it sounds like a moose, and then you like learn the sound that you're actually imitating is a moose that is just being like, come over and do me, big boy. And like,
well, it's like, I gotta poop.
Yeah.
I'm not going over there. That guy's like, gotta poop.
Like these, like, manly, like these, just these, oh, you know, like your John typical Manley? Hunter. yeah. R.I.P. Pepper. No, he's still around.
So is she.
Wow, did you just kill John Manley?
He's better off for it.
it's canon now.
Damn it, he said it on the pod.
But like, it's like your stereotypical hunter goes out wearing their camouflage and like, yo, I'm gonna go kill an animal. Okay, come here, big boy. Let me kill you. I'm gonna pretend to be a horny moose so I can kill you.
Is that the horny moose voice? Please tell me it is.
That's my horny moose voice.
We need to add that to the arsenal.
And then, but so like, we're sitting here. These scientists go out there, they're saying it's a greeting call. Sure. I just like feel a little conflicted about like convincing these whales that there's like horny singles in their area that they should come.
This is exactly what we came to the same conclusion very quickly. It's like, oh, they're definitely asking to do it. That's definitely what's happening right now. Yeah. So, yeah. I for one am pumped if we could talk to the sea creatures. I am worried that they're going to be like, for hundreds of years, you've slaughtered us. And now you must live with the guilt. And then, like, Japan is going to have to be like, ooh, sorry about that. Because, boy, naughty fisher people there.
The first thing they do is, like, all these people are stoked. And the first thing they do is ask for reparations. And everybody's like, oh, yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Reparate this. Have you said that in Japanese? I'm listening to this audio book. It's about octopuses and how their intelligence evolved in totally different circumstances and to form different nervous systems and brain types, but with the same kind of conclusion making that we can do, but from under the sea while we came above land, and out of all the zillions of different animals and creatures and stuff, just how that came about. And it, like, I rarely consider, like, I should maybe not kill and eat animals. To be fair, I don't kill any animals because I am a giant puss. But, like, I probably shouldn't eat those things. And then I think about the takoyaki, which is the Japanese octopus balls that they eat, and I'm like, Japan? Probably not cool to be killing the, like, the brains of the sea, like, whether on an ethical principle
brains
or when
of
they
the
start-
universe.
When they start developing their own weapons and start octopus murdering us. And I mean, they're obviously, they sleep with the dreams of it being terrible because they have like tentacle revenge porn. And so it's like, they must know what they're doing could potentially be bad. But anywhere else in the world?
I have a theory.
Doing that stuff? Go ahead. Yeah. Theory, please.
Like, I have a theory. Like, if you look at Godzilla and if you look at a lot of anime, like Attack on Titan and everything like that, it's, a lot of it is, we are very sorry for allowing World War II to happen. And like, we are now experiencing the shame and taking the brunt of it. But, you know, go ahead and do it in movies. But, like, we're just trying to convey to you very much so that we are very shameful, and this is what is happening to us. This is our destiny for having to us, and we're going to jack off to it while we're, you know,
shit. A twist!
This is for you, but also a little bit for us.
I wonder if they don't make those things as a reminder of, remember what we did, so that way they don't forget, you know, because I feel like it's only a matter of time before, and I don't have enough firsthand experience in with both of these, but I think it's only a matter of time before Germany forgets what they did, you know, or like some other countries, like you see our country on that path too, sort of. But I feel like Japan's never going to forget. I feel like that's ingrained in them.
Our country doesn't want to forget. They're actively trying to celebrate and redo it. Like, they're trying to put the statues back up and everything, like, like, they're like, you don't see any swastikas or any like Nazi party propaganda or anything or around Germany.
That stuff gets shut down so quick.
Yeah, and it comes over here and people wear it as costumes.
when Nerd Talk gets real.
But we are killing octopus.
I literally and then saw off in to like it. I literally saw in a vintage video game store the other day in Fort Lauderdale, it was a quote-unquote Mercedes-Benz World War II helmet. Hmm. It wasn't a German army or Nazi helmet. It was this was for people who work at Mercedes-Benz to protect their heads.
It wasn't like, SS.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it didn't have SS. AMG. It was MB. Yeah. I'm like, really? We're just going to kind of like just float this thing around here. Well, like,
what if you call them out on it? Then what happens? Nothing. Like, I don't know. I actually don't know.
I don't know. Nothing, I don't know. Because it had like Mercedes-Benz and a serial number and like a issuing number like inside of it. Like, I was looking at it because I was just like, oh my God, is this even freaking real? And it's got like dates on it, and I'm just like, this is creepy. I'm putting this down. I'm not touching this, and I'm not buying that Pac-Man game today, so I'll be back never.
Pac-Man was a Nazi?
Yeah. Yes.
So after some idiot scientist guessed way too high, there's a new estimate for the total number of Tyrannosauruses that roamed the Earth. Can you guys guess how many Tyrannosauruses ever roamed the Earth?
69.
Like, of all time.
Of all time. How many?
Multiple, not just like at any one time there were this
at
many.
At once or in a row?
Consecutively. Total number of Tyrannosauruses of all time.
Man, I don't know. You said way too high, so now I want to go like really low and be like in the hundreds almost.
Like
in the thousands.
500,000.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and help you guys out here. We're going to adjust it just a little bit. The Tyrannosaurus was thought to have roamed the Earth for anywhere from like 1 to 4 million years.
Okay. So maybe a little bit higher. What's the current lottery? I don't know. Probably, I want to say like maybe like 6 million or something. Or
4 million? No, because then you're looking at like that would be a couple on the Earth at the time. Like, there's just, it's like, what's that movie?
69
Hancock.
Million.
Yeah. He's like, you can only have one of each at any given time.
Yeah.
It's like the king and queen. Oh, yeah. They are called like the Regina and the Rex.
Yeah,
right?
There you go. For the different sizes. Yeah.
I'm going to say, let's see, 4 million. If you had four, let's, I'm going to say like a trillion.
Wow. That's so many. That's awesome. I wish.
Can you imagine that many Tyrannosaurus? Like, what was the size of their, like, their area, their native?
Even if they all walked on Earth, like, how many humans have there been at all time? And it's like 100 million ever. I mean, excuse me, 100 billion ever. And so it's like, but also we've only lived for 200,000 years, 100,000 years, something like that. And so,
can you imagine Pangea just wall to wall Tyrannosaurus?
So, of course I can.
It's just like, it's just like a club.
So that's of course where my brain went. And then what did I do? I put a business suit on one, and it had a tie.
Of course.
And it was the end of the day, and it wiggled its little arms to loosen it up because it was a hard day at the office. He had to let three people go today, and it was now they're eating each other in the parking lot, and it's So that's where my brain goes to it. Okay, so scientists...
He's like, oh, finally, I'm at T-Rex Club. I get to finally chill. Oh, what's that in the sky?
That's where my brain went right there. Spider Rex.
Oh, my god!
Yes, finally. He's holding up, for everyone who can't see the picture, he's holding up a comic book of Spider-Man, the T-Rex, Spider-Rex. Did I get that right enough?
Yeah, Edge of Spider-Verse, number 3, I think.
So the total number, scientists now think, the total number of Tyrannosauruses to ever exist, they went from 2-point-something billion to about 1.7 billion.
Wow.
Not at once, reminder. Okay, and we might have to do some quick math on this to figure it out, like what their sweet spot was. Even if it was like 1.5 million years, that's like... I can't do that math. So
300 million dinosaurs over 4 million years is 75 million dinosaurs per million years.
We all have calculator apps.
It's 1.7 billion over the course
of the sky.
1.7 billion over the course of 3 million years, okay?
Oh, I was calculating the difference between what they said existed, so like how many dinosaurs, theoretical dinosaurs, they just killed off by doing this new math.
The Thanos snap.
If someone could actually do this math, that would be awesome while I keep reading this. Now, these things are 40 feet long, right? And so, like, first of all, there would never be a T-Rex kung fu class because his little arms are too short, and I'm sad for them there. Okay, fair.
Such a drastic
conclusion. Now, they think that at any given time, there'd be, like, something like 20,000 of the animals stomping around and yelling and chomping and stuff like that. The breath must have been awful is where my brain goes. And that you'd have, like... Oh, I forget what I read about it. It was like 20,000 would be... You'd have like between maybe 2 and 3 for the entire city of Seattle. So like 20,000 would be able to fill up California or something like that if you had them all in one spot. But they'd of course be, you know, they'd have territory and they were giant, 40 feet long. They're 16 feet tall or whatever. So they'd be stomping around and cover quite a bit of space. They have to eat a lot, too.
They definitely couldn't afford housing in Seattle.
Yeah. I mean, that's why they ate the housing. They ate the people. First of all, the scope, the idea that Tyrannosaurus lived for maybe 3 million years and humans are on the brink of extinction constantly after... You know, not even a tenth, not even a hundredth of that is pretty. Like, we think we're so significant, and we like are such a drop in the bucket.
Well, we're ruining everything. They were like, literally, like the garbage men of the what is it? The which era was it? Triassic. They ate just, you know, they ate the sick, the diseased, and everything else like that. They literally got rid of the crap.
They were in the Cretaceous period, the late Cretaceous. Is when they existed. A period that was 80-something million years long in itself, which is wild to me. So, just the notion that what are we in now? The Holocene, where the humans are ending the planet for life to live on it on their own.
We're actively ruining everything where they were, you know, just kind of chilling
now,
enjoying life.
The difference, though, is that we as a culture and as a media and as a podcast probably talk about the extinction of the Earth, the way that we're running around using up the resources and making it harder for ourselves to live here. We talk about it as if like the Earth will cease to exist. It'll just be what we know it as and what we need it to be to function correctly or to thrive or whatever. But like after we're gone, it's not likely that we're going to explode the planet. Like it'll continue Earth and on, and it no longer will be peopling the next time the aliens come by or whatever.
Now the humpback whales are still going to be down there being like, glad that guy finally shut up.
Let's make sure. Okay. We need to get some sort of atomic source that will power a whale call that'll just be like, well, it's hump for the rest of their lives. So
they're just getting... So the whales, even long after the humans are gone, the whales are just getting hit by porn pop-up ads for the rest of their life.
Just get a whale cover of Yin Yang Twins from the windows to the wall. Just like...
Whatever the equivalent that is.
We don't even know what those are!
What's a window?
Bring back sex music. Only for whales.
All right, well, out of the way, thumbs. That's my new fighting call. There's a new lazier way to scroll your phone for hours. It's going to free your hands up to do other things, I guess, while you're scrolling. I see all the time on my TikTok that there's like a ring that people can wear that has three buttons and it's Bluetooth, and you can press up or down or the middle button, and so it'll swipe up or down on your TikTok or on your Instagram or whatever. And so while you're on the treadmill, so you don't have to be holding a phone and getting seasick while you're doing it, you can have your phone on the display or whatever. And as you're going, you have the ring on your finger and you can press down so you can scroll to the next thing and like as you go and keep watching with your Bluetooth ring connected. I don't know if you can also Bluetooth ring and headphones at the same time. That would be insane if you couldn't. But it's a way to let yourself be lazier. That is even now obsolete compared to what the next development is. This is weird. A company at CES rolled out their new Roof of Your Mouth Retainer Mouse that lets you scroll on your phone with your tongue.
I'm already doing that.
I'm not going to say
it. We're all thinking it.
that just reminds me, what was it? Westworld.
Yeah.
Like when they finally got out of the world, the way that they controlled like former military people and like had like the crazy people was a retainer that went in there and everything was connected like through the roof of their mouth and connected to their brain that way.
Cool.
So yeah, what's his name? Jesse Pinkman was wearing one of those in Westworld. And Marshawn Lynch was there.
In these like very cold months here. It was like -6 the other day.
What?
Yeah, it gets minus. It's just crazy.
You can go below zero.
Yeah, it was not fun. I was walking and
I hate to interrupt, but I just want you to know, Brandon, that you are currently 69% uploaded. Just so you know.
Nice,
nice. Stop, stop the count. Stop the count. 20%
in Canada.
Yeah. They already know what I said without me having said it yet.
They're three episodes ahead.
They've already listened to your Brandon. Section of the podcast.
No, but like every once in a while, if I'm out in the cold and I've got to pull my phone out and like answer a call or like do something, but I have the gloves on and like, yeah, you can have the gloves that have the fingertip where you're able to do this stuff, you know, like you're able to still touch the screen. But when it's that degree or that few degrees outside, it's those big gloves that they make don't usually have very good or tactile ways to be able to do your phone. So I just end up doing like, I don't have my phone on me, but like you just end up doing this a lot. With my nose, like swiping my nose on my phone, like somebody's calling me and I can't answer it because like my gloves are too big, and so I'm just sitting there like smash my face into it like a bird, like hitting my nose. Like somebody got to put some seed on this to incentivize me to answer this phone.
You know what you should do next time it's that cold, Brandon, is you should carry around a frozen hot dog. It has the connectivity powers to be able to work your phone for you.
I've already been carrying around a frozen hot dog. I didn't know it could work for that.
A little Vienna sausage, everybody. That was a dick joke. I apologize, Brandon. But but yeah, I saw someone.
No, so like something like this ring or like the retainer thing. While they sound super, Black Mirror-y. Like they, it's. It does sure beats the hell out of smashing my face into my phone to answer a phone call.
Man, I can't even remember, like, what was it, 2001 or 2002 or something like that. I was, I went to a football game up in New England, like Dolphins versus Patriots or something. It was a game that they snowed out the entire stadium, and it was under so much snow, there was, like, literally no seats. And it snowed so much that they had to add cars to the train to bring it to the stadium. So like people are like jumping out of the train in the woods to like walk because it was just so long. They could never get to the stadium. And I remember it being so cold and the wind blowing so much that like we had to like wedge ourselves like into the girders of the stadium to like block the wind from us. I pulled out my phone one time and it was just frozen solid shut. Like this was well before iPhones. I had like one of the first like Sony Ericsson Walkman phones way back in the day. And it just wouldn't turn on, black screen, nothing. Like it was so cold, like you couldn't even turn it on, and I'd never seen anything like that before in my life at that point.
I want to make the soap bubbles where you can watch them actually freeze. Like you can take a bubble and put it on like the and blow it, and it fills up on like the snow, and then it freezes right before your eyes. I want to do that, but it has to be under 9 degrees. So you could have done it, Brandon. But I found out
it's actually been super convenient. Like in the last couple of weeks, if I've like made like we had to throw my wife Cage did this. Yeah. She threw a baby shower for my sister-in-law. And so she's making all this food in our house to take over to this other house where the party's going to be. And our fridge has absolutely no room for it. And so she's able to just go put all of the food out in the, like, just put it outside for the night. It's been, like, amazing. Like, and we were actually worried about it being too cold for the food to, like we didn't want to put the food in a freezer. Like, we just wanted to put it in the fridge.
Yeah.
And it was, like, freezer temperatures outside.
Yeah, every day we'd wake up and my boy and I would laugh about what froze in my car the night before, and so we'd see like if his water bottle had any water in it, and it was it's fun. It's
soup.
Sad
floor soup.
Still soup.
I used to go to the Hood Canal to see my buddy Ryan. He's got a place out there, and he got it like left to him in his will, and it's like from his dad's will or whatever. It's an awesome place out like on a bluff looking out over the water. And yeah, in the winter he'd be like, "Nah, we're not wasting power. Turn it on the downstairs part because it like to run the freezer and stuff like that. Just go put it outside." So he'd just leave all the beers outside. You'd have to be cold to go get a beer and then come back in. It was awesome. Yeah. Okay. Well, few things from last week. I think I have one person who's semi-serious about being the producer for the podcast. Someone reached out to me, and it's someone I 100% approve of. And if he is being serious, then yeah, we can't wait. Brandon's going to fall out of his chair, so we might have to actually replace him sooner than I thought. And so
I leaned back, and my bike caught onto my friggin' chair, and I couldn't get back up.
I was proud of myself. I was talking to someone about winter riding bikes where you have to put it on the thing and then you use the app. I don't remember what any of it's called or whatever, but I was like, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. If it sat behind Brandon for years in when we podcast, his bike would be back there on the whatever the winter mount is.
App is called Wahoo, which is a very fun...
what was the other one? There's another
like
one, too,
a fish.
Right?
Oh, no. Actually, no. The device is called Wahoo. The app is called Zwift.
Yeah, Zwift. Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's like a stationary bike, but like multiple parts.
It's like your actual bike.
It's like my normal bicycle that I ride outside. But then you put
treadmill.
Take the back wheel off. Yeah, basically, you take the back wheel off and you put it on like a mounted thing, and then it connects to like a video game, basically. Where if I pedal faster, it goes faster. It reads my watts that I'm putting out.
Can it add intensity?
Power your house with
so
that?
Like if you're going up a hill, can it tell you to like can it make it harder?
Yeah, so it's called like a erg mode where like a rower
gerg mode
where it can gerg
mode.
I throw it in gerg mode.
<It's> stop it! God, no, nope, ride faster.
Yeah, I throw it in gerg mode. No, yeah, so if you go uphill and like because you can ride like they take actual like place so like in this game or in this app they have like parts of Tokyo in there, they have parts of London in there, they have parts of like other cities where
do you ever lock up the brakes so you can Tokyo drift?
Tokyo drift.
Boom. Rainbow Road in Mario Kart.
There is a thing that looks like Rainbow. There is a thing that looks like Rainbow Road in this game. It's amazing, except for the fact that you're climbing a hill the whole time. But it does go to like it'll be like, hey, you're going up this real world hill that's a 7% incline. Let's make it feel like you're going up a 7% incline.
No,
my little brother Steven has one where like you take the front wheel off too, and you put it on this thing, and so like if you start going up a hill, it actually raises your front wheel too, so it like lifts you up, so it looks like you're going up a hill.
Ugh. That would dump me off the bike.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick to eating.
I'd be so injured.
Whatever Jamaican wallet that CG eats, like that sounds way better.
I would like a Jamaican coin purse.
I mean, every time.
No, don't say that. Don't say that.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like how you get teabagged.
Yeah, that does sound like. Let's look that up on Urban Dictionary and see if that already exists.
All right. Well, anyway, I haven't checked today. I don't know, Siege, maybe you did or whatever. I don't know if we got any new... if we got any new comments or reviews or anything, but you can always reach us at nerdtalkplus.com. We appreciate you reaching out all the time. All our socials are on there, too. It just hooks up to our link tree so you can find the pod, so you can you already found it, which we're really grateful for. But if you want to chime in or talk about it, or if you have a shirt that slides up your belly, or if you spilled all the soup, like, I'm here for you, dog.
You guys, every time before Siege joined the pod... And even after Teach joined the pod, every time I wanted to see if we had any reviews on the on our show, I would type in Gregor's Nerd Talk iTunes and just hope that my computer remembered that that one time that I visited our page. And all of this time, NerdTalkPlus.com existed and had the link to take me directly there, and I never used it. It's not until right before we started the show today I went, huh. I wonder if I should go to nerdtalkplus.com and see if that link is there. Did I realize that the link absolutely is there and that I could just, with two clicks, get there? And so, anyway, just a testimony to all of you out there who are thinking about trying
Brandon,
to visit that website.
Yeah. You know, we did get a new, well, not a new review. It's an updated review.
All right.
From our good friend Thick Thighs Saves Lives.
Oh, good.
Yeah, says, I wanted to update my review, so still okay. 5 stars.
Great.
Okay, so thank you so much for sharing a little history of the show. I had no idea it was around for like 5,000 years. I only found you when I followed Siege from Florida Man Murders, and from Florida Man Murders, one and only, oh my God. I only found you when I followed Siege from the Florida Man Murders one and only met Brandon in the last few since he's been back. You guys are magic, and I'm super happy I got to know the show. I'm from Fort Lauderdale, and I'm a big fan of... Oh, God. Here we go. Big fan of Siege's comedy. I didn't know that any of you guys were on the radio in Seattle, but that's so cool, and I would listen to you every day.
This podcast. So a lot of people, this podcast is just Siege and friends.
Yeah, right? God. Your show is so funny. So fun and funny. And I actually use my brain. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and also,
sorry about that.
God, never mind.
No, we'll, you don't.
Yeah. We ask a lot of tough questions, okay? Like...
We ask a lot of questions. It's the quantity of jokes.
Yeah. It's the quantity of the podcast, not the quality.
Okay. Well, Brandon, anything else?
No.
I couldn't
possibly.
See?
It'll get there.
Just one last question. Brandon, do you use one of those like little aerator things on your mustache? I've been seeing those on... ever since we started talking about your mustache, I've been getting weird ads for like how to grow facial hair, which is like not my problem. But,
do I need to be aerating?
I don't know. There's this little thing that looks like an aerator that just like kind
of... Brandon has little plugs of dirt all over his face from his face being blown up.
Sounds like I just need to hire a very small dad to like rent an aerator across my lip. See, even that sounds like something on Urban Dictionary.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah! All right, well, thanks for joining us. Thanks for subscribing and reaching out at nerdtalkplus.com for Siege and Brandon. I'm Gregor. Bye!
Love you, meet it. Bye!
For the record, Jamaican coin purse, not already an entry on Urban Dictionary.
All right, well, out of the way, thumbs. That's my new fighting call. There's a new lazier way to scroll your phone for hours. It's going to free your hands up to do other things, I guess, while you're scrolling. I see all the time on my TikTok that there's like a ring that people can wear that has three buttons and it's Bluetooth, and you can press up or down or the middle button, and so it'll swipe up or down on your TikTok or on your... or on your Instagram or whatever. And so while you're on the treadmill, so you don't have to be holding a phone and getting seasick while you're doing it, you can have your phone on the display or whatever. And as you're going, you have the ring on your finger and you can press down so you can scroll to the next thing and like as you go and keep watching with your Bluetooth ring connected. I don't know if you can also Bluetooth ring and headphones at the same time. That would be insane if you couldn't. But it's a way to let yourself be lazier. That is even now obsolete compared to what... the next development is This is weird. A company at CES rolled out their new Roof of Your Mouth retainer mouse that lets you scroll on your phone with your tongue.
I'm already what? Doing that.
That's I'm not going to say
it. We're all thinking it.
That just reminds me, what was it? Westworld.
Yeah.
Like when they finally got out of the world, they were the way that they controlled like former military people and like had like the crazy people was a retainer that went in there and everything was connected like through the roof of their mouth and connected to their brain that way.
Cool.
So yeah, what's his name? Jesse Pinkman was wearing one of those in Westworld. And Marshawn Lynch was there.
In these like very cold months here. It was like -6 the other day.
What?
Yeah, it gets minus. It's crazy.
You can go below zero?
Yeah, it was not fun. I was walking and I had
to interrupt, but I just want you to know, Brandon, that you are currently 69% uploaded, just so you know.
Nice.
Nice. Stop. Stop the count. Stop the count. 20%
in Canada.
Yeah. They already know what I said without me having said it yet.
They're three episodes ahead.
They've already listened to your Brandon section of the podcast.
every once in a while, if I'm out in the cold and I've got to pull my phone out, and like answer a call or like do something, but I have the gloves on and like, yeah, you can have the gloves that have the fingertip where you're able to do this stuff, you know, like you're able to still touch the screen. But when it's that degree or that few degrees outside, it's those big gloves that they make don't usually have very good or tactile ways to be able to do your phone. So I just end up doing like, here, where's my, I don't have my phone on me, but like you just end up doing this a lot. With my nose, like swiping my nose on my phone, like somebody's calling me and I can't answer it because like my gloves are too big, and so I'm just sitting there like smash my face into it like a bird, like hitting my nose. Like somebody got to put some seed on this to incentivize me to answer this phone.
You know what you should do next time it's that cold, Brandon, is you should carry around a frozen hot dog. It has the connectivity powers to be able to work your phone for you.
I've already been carrying around a frozen hot dog. I didn't know it could work for that.
A little Vienna sausage, everybody. That was a dick joke. I apologize, Brandon. But I saw someone.
No, so like something like this ring or like the retainer thing. While they sound super, Black Mirror-y, like they, it's. It does sure beats the hell out of smashing my face into my phone to answer a phone call.
Man, I can't even remember, like, what was it, 2001 or 2002 or something like that. I was, I went to a football game up in New England, like Dolphins versus Patriots or something. It was a game that they snowed out the entire stadium, and it was under so much snow, there was, like, literally no seats. And it snowed so much that they had to add cars to the train to bring it to the stadium. So like people are like jumping out of the train in the woods to like walk because it was just so long. They could never get to the stadium. And I remember it being so cold and the wind blowing so much that like we had to like wedge ourselves like into the girders of the stadium to like block the wind from us. I pulled out my phone one time and it was just frozen solid shut. Like this was well before iPhones. I had like one of the first like Sony Ericsson Walkman phones way back day. And it just wouldn't turn on, black screen, nothing. Like it was so cold. Like you couldn't even turn it on. And I'd never seen anything like that before in my life at that point.
I want to make the soap bubbles where you can watch them actually freeze. Like you can take a bubble and put it on like the and blow it, and it like it fills up on like the snow, and then it freezes right before your eyes. I want to do that, but it has to be under 9 degrees. So you could have done it, Brandon. But I found
it's actually been super convenient. Like in the last couple of weeks, if I've like made like we had to throw a or we didn't. My wife Cage did this. Yeah. She threw a baby shower for my sister-in-law. And so she's making all this food in our house to take over to this other house where the party's going to be. And our fridge has absolutely no room for it. And so she's able to just go put all of the food out in the, like, just put it outside for the night. It's been, like, amazing. Like, and we were actually worried about it being too cold for the food to, like we didn't want to put the food in a freezer. Like, we just wanted to put it in the fridge.
Yeah.
And it was, like, freezer temperatures outside.
Yeah, every day we'd wake up and my boy and I would laugh about what froze in my car the night before. And so we'd see, like, if his water bottle had any water in it. And it was, yeah, it's fun. It's
Aw, soup.
Sad.
Floor soup.
Still soup.
I used to go to the Hood Canal to see my buddy Ryan. He's got a place out there, and he got it like left to him in his will, and it's like or from his dad's will or whatever. It's an awesome place out like on a bluff looking out over the water. And yeah, in the winter he'd be like, "Nah, we're not wasting power turning on the downstairs part because it like to run the freezer and stuff like that. Just go put it outside." So he'd just leave all the beers outside. You'd have to be cold to go get a beer and then come back in. It was awesome. Yeah, okay. Well, few things from last week. I think I have one person who's semi-serious about being the producer for the podcast. Someone reached out to me, and it's someone I 100% approve of. And if he is being serious, then yeah, we can't wait. Brandon's going to fall out of his chair, so we might have to actually replace him sooner than I thought. And so
I leaned back, and my bike caught onto my friggin' chair, and I couldn't get back up.
I was proud of myself. I was talking to someone about winter riding bikes where you have to put it on the thing and then you use the app. I don't remember what any of it's called or whatever, but I was like, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. If it sat behind Brandon for years in when we podcast, his bike would be back there on the whatever the winter mount is.
The app is called Wahoo, which is a very fun...
what was the other one? There's another
like
one, too,
fish.
Right?
Oh, no. Actually, no. The device is called Wahoo. The app is called Zwift.
Yeah, Zwift. Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so it's like a stationary bike, but like multiple parts.
It's like your actual
bike. It's like my normal bicycle that I ride outside, but then you put
treadmill.
Take the back wheel off. Yeah, basically. You take the back wheel off and you put it on like a mounted thing. And then it connects to like a video game, basically, where if I pedal faster, it goes faster. It reads my watts that I'm putting out.
Can it add intensity?
Power your house with
that? If you're going up a hill, can it tell you to like can it make it harder?
Yeah, so it's called like a erg mode where like a rower
gerg mode
where it can gerg
mode.
I throw it in gerg mode.
<It's> like, stop it! God, no, nope, ride faster.
I throw it in gerg mode. No, yeah. So if you go uphill and like, because you can ride like they take actual like place so like in this game or in this app they have like parts of Tokyo in there, they have parts of London in there, they have parts of like other cities where
do you ever lock up the brakes so you can Tokyo
drift
boom Rainbow Road in Mario Kart.
There is a thing that looks like Rainbow. There is a thing that looks like Rainbow Road in this game. It's amazing, except for the fact that you're climbing a hill the whole time. But it does go to like if it'll be like, hey, you're going up this real world hill that's a 7% incline. Let's make it feel like you're going up a 7% incline.
No,
my little brother Steven has one where like you take the front wheel off too, and you put it on this thing, and so like if you start going up a hill, it actually raises your front wheel too, so it like lifts you up, so it looks like you're going up a hill.
Ugh. That would dump me off the bike.
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick to eating.
I'd be so injured.
Whatever Jamaican wallet that CG eats, like that sounds way better.
I would like a Jamaican coin purse.
I mean, every time.
No, don't say that. Don't say that.
That definitely sounds like how you get teabagged.
Yeah, that does sound like. Let's look it up on Urban Dictionary and see if that already exists.
All right. Well, anyway, I haven't checked today. I don't know, Siege, maybe you did or whatever. I don't know if we got any new comments or reviews or anything, but you can always reach us at nerdtalkplus.com. We appreciate you reaching out all the time. All our socials are on there, too. It just hooks up to our link tree so you can find the pod, so you can you already found it, which we're really grateful for. But if you want to chime in or talk about it, or if you have a shirt that slides up your belly, or if you spilled all the soup, like, I'm here for you, dog.
You guys, every time before Siege joined the pod, And even after Teach joined the pod, every time I wanted to see if we had any reviews on the on our show, I would type in Gregor's Nerd Talk iTunes and just hope that my computer remembered that one time that I visited our page. And all of this time, NerdTalkPlus.com existed and had the link to take me directly there, and I never used it. It's not until right before we started the show today, I went, huh, I wonder if I should go to NerdTalkPlus.com and see if that link is there. Did I realize that the link absolutely is there and that I could just, with two clicks, get there? And so, anyway, just a testimony to all of you out there who are thinking about trying
Brandon,
to visit
go leave
that
a comment.
Website.
You know, we did get a new, well, not a new review. It's an updated review.
All right.
From our good friend Thick Thighs Saves Lives.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Says, I wanted to update my review, so still okay. 5 stars.
Great.
Okay. So thank you so much for sharing a little history of the show. I had no idea it was around for like 5,000 years. I only found you when I followed Siege from Florida Man Murders and... From Florida Man Murders, one and only... Oh, my God. I only found you when I followed Siege from the Florida Man Murders one and only met Brandon in the last few since he's been back. You guys are magic, and I'm super happy I got to know the show. I'm from Fort Lauderdale, and I'm a big fan of... Oh, God. Here we go. Big fan of Siege's comedy. I didn't know that any of you guys were on the radio in Seattle, but that's so cool, and I would listen to you every day.
This podcast. So a lot of people, this podcast is just Siege and friends.
Yeah, right? God. Your show is so funny. So fun and funny. And I actually use my brain. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and also,
sorry about
oh,
that.
God, never mind.
No, we'll, no you don't.
Yeah. We ask a lot of tough questions, okay? Like...
We ask a lot of questions. It's the quantity of jokes.
Yeah. It's the quantity of the podcast, not the quality.
Okay. Well, Brandon, anything else?
No.
I couldn't
possibly.
See?
It'll get there.
Just one last question. Brandon, do you use one of those like little aerator things on your mustache? I've been seeing those on... ever since we started talking about your mustache, I've been getting weird ads for like how to grow facial hair, which is like not my problem. But,
do I need to be aerating?
I don't know. There's this little thing that looks like an aerator that just like kind
of... Brandon has little plugs of dirt all over his face from his face being blown up.
Yeah. Sounds like I just need to hire a very small dad to rent an aerator across my lip. See, even that sounds like something on Urban Dictionary.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah! All right, well, thanks for joining us. Thanks for subscribing and reaching out at nerdtalkplus.com for Siege and Brandon. I'm Gregor. Bye!
Love you, Mina. Bye!
For the record, Jamaican coin purse, not already an entry on Urban Dictionary.